But I'm going to try not to, make it too painful, but folks, we've got an opportunity this morning to teach the game of God's word. And I hope that it's going to warm your heart and it's going to open your eyes and it's going to really be an encouragement and God's word. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the book of John, the Gospel of John, the good news about Jesus. And Bruce started a couple of 2 weeks ago now with the introduction to John, and took us through the Word of God revealed in this dark world. And he started to introduce us to John the Baptist, and we looked at 2 weeks ago. And he considered John the Baptist as the voice in the wilderness. He didn't bring attention to himself. He wanted to proclaim the Lord Jesus. And call witness to the Lord Jesus, he had a very clear idea of what God's purpose was for him. And we saw that even though he understood God's purpose, God had this great purpose that he didn't realize. And he obeyed God, God led him to pray. And then he considered a little bit about the Lamb of God. He said, wonderful and amazing power that is so great and meaning for us as we consider that. And the question we ended up with was,
because we have to change the way he said it. You don't have to do it. You're going to be angry. It's not my fault.
I hope that things will be sort of percolating in your mind over the last couple of weeks. We're going to think of where we left off in John chapter 1, and we're going to be considering following the Lord Jesus here. Let's turn then to John chapter 1. Because in John chapter 1, we're going to complete John chapter 1. We're going to be reading from verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus and he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This is the second time that John has called out and given Jesus his title. The two disciples heard him say this, these are John's disciples, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw his forehead, and he said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying. They stayed with him that day, which was about 10 hours. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have come to this land, which means Christ." He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Peter." The next day, Jesus started to go gather. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, of whom Moses the law has fulfilled from his life, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" "Come and see." Jesus saw the Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold the Israelite indeed, and he was noticed." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were in the church, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than you." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascend and descend on the Son of Man." Father, we thank you for your precious word. We revelation of what you want us to know about you. We just pray today, Lord, and we consider your will. We thank you for each of us here. We pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts, help us to understand, Lord, what you would come to say to us. We just pray that all the sounds around us would listen to us, and that you would speak into our hearts. There's a charming scene from the animation Frozen. Who here has not seen Frozen, the animation? Well, and you guys are missing out on time. You've got to go and see it. Okay? You can go down and one of those wonderful animations. What a terrible thing to do with that. So there's this handsome prince, his name is Hans. And he comes from a neighboring kingdom, and he meets Anna, who's the queen's sister. I mean, about the story for those people together. And they meet at the ball, as we would. And they end up on the balcony alone. And there's this gorgeous, charming scene of Anna and Hans falling in love. And this is how it goes. And they send this stuff. Anna says, okay, can I just say something crazy? And Hans says, I love crazy. All my life has been a series of doors in my face, and then suddenly, and Hans says, I was thinking the same thing. I've been searching my whole life to find my own place. Maybe it's just a fancy talking or a chocolate fondue. And Anna says, but with you, I found my place. I see your face. And it's nothing like I've ever known before. Love is an open door, that's what the song's called. Love is an open door. If you haven't seen the song, probably, if you haven't seen this movie, you've probably heard this song. I mean, that's crazy. What? We flesh each other's sandwiches. That's what I was going to say. Who thinks like me, our mental synchronization can have just one explanation. You and I were just meant to be. To the pain of the cross, we don't have to pick it anymore. Love is open door. Isn't that sweet? Very sweet. So you've got these two people who found each other and they just madly in love and they finish each other's sandwiches, sentences, and all of that amazing stuff. All of us have had that experience in some sense. Now maybe you're not that lucky in love at the moment or whatever it has is. But you get that person who just gets you, who knows you, who gets your sense of humor, who understands your dreams, who understands your fears, who maybe finishes your sentences, just understand, maybe it's a sister or a good friend or your spouse. You know, when you start getting older, it gets quite sad because you've heard the story so many times. You're not finishing the sentence, like, oh, not this one again. You know exactly what the person's going to say before they say it, don't you? Very, very painful. But you know, there are some things that are deep in our hearts. Some things that even our close friends, even those people nearest and dearest to us, they think they understand that from you. The things that people don't see about us, all of us have got a mark. Nervous about showing everything about us. We worry that people won't really understand us. We worry that maybe we'll get judged. Maybe people won't get us. Maybe once it's out of time, maybe there's ways that people can tell us. Today we see the calling of Paul Jesus. And we see something truly wonderful. We see the Lord Jesus. All of them are very different. They come from the same area, but different people. Some of them are related, but they are weak. They're all weak. Some of them partly doesn't understand them. But we see Jesus, the Son of God, moving to the people, and the way that they understand the spend a little bit of time with them, looking very briefly at these four people, four individuals. And then you're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about the Lord Jesus, the one who said, Father, what was the attraction? What was it that drew people to him? What was the answer? Let's think about that. There's four people who mentioned by name in this chapter. And there's five people in the story. One of them isn't mentioned by name. Maybe it's John. Look at the four people who mentioned by name. And John doesn't ever give us a list of the 12 disciples. That is not picked up, of course. He gives us a list of the 12 disciples. He mentions the 12 because the 12 are there, the 12 are there. But he focuses very much on the people. What happened? So we have John the Baptist, this amazing voice in the wilderness, a man who commanded authority, he spoke with incredible meaning, he taught people through Jesus, he gathered around him a group of disciples. He wanted to live for God, he wanted to live his life with Jesus, and for God. And look at how when Jesus comes onto the scene, John says, God, I'm not worthy of this man. This is a guy, I'm not even worthy to speak down and untie his shoes. This is Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That's my purpose. My purpose was to reveal him. And the next day, Jesus comes across again, and John says, look, behold, the Lamb of God. And so John's disciples, walking down the street. And I can just picture the scene. He's walking there. You know, we haven't really been formally introduced. And he's just sort of walking down. How are we going to approach this? How are we going to introduce this up to me? What I wonder, how is this going to work? And Jesus, the one who knows and understands our hearts, turns around and ask him a lovely question. These two guys are, they completely bluffed because they weren't expecting this. They were thinking maybe what will happen is Jesus will go to his house and see where he is, and then we'll think about it. We'll figure out how we're going to get to meet Jesus. Jesus turns around and says, what do you see? What did they say? Where are you staying? Isn't that a funny thing to say? They're on the spot now. Where are you staying? And they're full of doubt. And that word, rabbi, is a wonderful word. We're going to look at it. But straightway, they say, look at this. How about me? Jesus, come along, come with me. And he takes them along into the place of home where he's staying. And now we've got Andrew. Andrew's not anything you're afraid about. Andrew looks like maybe a bit of a timid guy. Not quite sure of himself, but he's interested. He's such a good Lord. And the Lord says, come on, Andrew. Now, that's why I'm here. Listen to me. Look around. I'm going to teach you. What a weird you are this morning. I wonder if you and Andrew, I wonder if you got that in the first guy. Say, he's so loud. But that's not me. It's just not the prettiest. You want to know more. Jesus understands. He's ready to teach. He's ready to show you more. But before Andrew goes, and this is why I think he's aiming to be more timid, is his brother. His brother is Peter. And his brother is more of a lot, as we see right away through the gospel. This guy is in the place. And he says, well, before I go, let's just go get my brother. It's bad. If I put Peter with me, then I'm okay. The two of us can go, then we can chat about it, we can see if this is the real deal, all of that stuff. The Bible says, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found this. And he was sure that this was somebody really special. going to lead, and we'll come in there and say, he's a rock. Then Jesus sent off to Galilee. And it says Jesus went to Philip. And Philip was the same area. And Jesus says to Philip, he doesn't give us any more detail, but just says, Jesus found Philip and sent him to help him. Philip was ready. Philip was waiting for whatever reason. We don't know a lot more detail. But we know Philip was a man who was willing to take instruction. He was sent to look at the scripture, the stationary, everywhere, listening, and preaching the gospel of the word of God. He was that mission of God. And Philip does that. Not only does he do that, he immediately takes a step to go and find somebody else. Mission heart. And he says to go and find the family, he says, Nathaniel, we've got to come. We've found Jesus. We've found the one of whom both in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, Matthew, the son of God. And finally, you see Nathaniel. And Nathaniel is completely amazed. Jesus says this again. He says all these things about Nathaniel. There is an Israelite indeed and who there is overseas. Even before he sees Nathaniel, he knows that about Nathaniel. In each of these men, Jesus is able to go right to the heart of who they are. He knows them. Before he can admit it, he understands it in a deep and incredible way. And that Nathaniel is blown away by this. Because Jesus says, I knew you. How did you know? He says, I knew you while you were sitting under the tree before you even stepped into the kitchen. And Nathaniel is skeptic. It's crazy. What if you're a skeptic this morning? Nathaniel wasn't sure. He knew it was a sign. What? Jesus from Nazareth. Who's it that heard of that place? Jesus from Jerusalem. Maybe. But Jesus from Nazareth? Maybe if he's sitting there this morning, that's your God. You're going, what? Nah, come on. Get real. What's this, man? This old woman is 55. You know exactly where you're at. And for Nathaniel, Jesus did something completely different. For the others, for Andrew, called them into the house. Stay with him. For Peter, he called them out in his character. For Philip, he goes into character and just like it. He's trying to do it. And Daniel, he addresses the sin. And he gives them something miraculous. And he was never afraid. He said, ah, you believe it because of that. That's why. Maybe this morning you're wondering, he said, what is it really doing? Jesus is saying, come and see. Come and see. If you're interested, if you're seeking this morning, if you wonder, yes, Jesus is, was, and is real. Jesus, there's no doubt that he was a scarlet figure, but he was way, way more than that. Jesus is coming to us. He knows and understands each of us in a way that you cannot believe because he created us. He knows us and he loves us. We're going to take a few minutes now to look at Jesus with your little passage. But I want to start thinking at this point. Are you ready to trust and believe in the only one? The only one who really knows who you are. He knows exactly what you need. Think about that this morning and just spend a little bit of The first title in this passage, that in this short passage, there are amazing different references to Jesus, giving him all sorts of different titles. And we're not going to spend a huge amount of time on each one, because each of these could be part of our discussion on their own. Jesus is called Rabbi twice in this passage. Firstly by Andrew and the other disciple, and then by Nathanael. What does that do to mean? It doesn't mean much to us, because we're not Jewish. But for Jewish people, this was the highest title that you could give to someone in authority in a religious life. You're putting yourself in a position of position. You're saying, you're the master. You're the teacher. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to listen. What you tell me, I'm going to believe. I'm going to understand it because you're the learned one and I'm the learned one. You're the master of this. And when these men came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, they were putting themselves in a position where they were saying, teacher. This morning, if you can call Jesus Rabbi, are you ready to call him Rabbi? Are you ready to say to Jesus, Jesus, you're the Lord, you're the Master, you know all things, that about you? As a Christian, how are you doing this? On a daily basis, are you going to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, Rabbi? Secondly, Jesus used this title to be Jesus of Nazareth, Son of Joseph. Nazareth was the home of Joseph's family he came from. That's where the angel came and announced the birth to Mary and to Joseph. Remember, they came from there, well, firstly, they went to Bethlehem because he was born, and they came to Egypt, and they came back to Nazareth. And that's where Joseph had a property business and where Jesus was raised and grew up. That's where Jesus was from. And amazingly, this title is used again and again and again through the not only the gospel, but also in Acts. And it's interesting that it was what he was known for. This is the Jesus who, when he went back to Nazareth, this is the Jesus who was taken to the edge of a cliff to be thrown down and killed. This is the Jesus who the disciples on the road to Emmaus were discussing. Haven't you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? This is the Jesus whose name was nailed to the top of the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This is the Jesus who identified himself with Paul. But Paul said, who are you, Lord? This is the Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Joseph, and who was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, who died for our sins, who God raised, and who saved us. And when Peter was preaching to the council, first amazing sermon in Acts chapter 2, he says it's Jesus of Nazareth. That same Jesus whom you crucified, that's the one God raised from the dead and glorified. Jesus. That's amazing. Christ is the Son of God. Christ is the Son of God. And to be not very reverent. But it was a prayer, it was nothing. That's what Jesus chose to be. And there's a prophecy that says Jesus would come from that area in Galilee. And that was the prophecy that was talking about. Thirdly, Jesus the Messiah, the Christ. Christ, the Messiah, the Christ means anointed one. It means an anointed one could be an anointed king or an anointed priest, someone who is set apart. And the Jews were looking forward to the next Christ, the next anointed one, the next Messiah, who was going to be this king. That's what they were looking forward to. They didn't understand the full meaning of how anointed and for what purpose the anointed one would come. And here we have not just a priest or a king, we have the king of priests, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, the priest, the Lord of all kingdoms. We also see in this passage, Jesus being referred to, and Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are such God. There was something that Nathanael saw straight away that was completely God had revealed it to him. We know that this wasn't revealed by his own wisdom. Because later, when Jesus asked Peter the same question, that Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, thank you, brother, and I revealed it. And revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. I wonder this morning if you are ready to acknowledge that Jesus is not only a rabbi, not only was not only one who was born in Nazareth, not only one who was in the temple, but he is the Son of God. Finally, Jesus refers to himself in a better way. Jesus said, the Son of Man. Interesting title, isn't it? This is a title that bore so much meaning. Jesus was and always had been the Son of God. There is nothing new in that in his life. But now, he would return to heaven, the crucified one, to the fame of the Godhead, the three in one, to the celebration of angels, and in victory over sin and evil and the devil, to be seated at the right hand of God, and to be worshipped by us, his church, forever. There's something wonderful and unique in that phrase. And in this chapter, in these two verses, we see Jesus revealed very quickly in so many different ways. We don't have time to go into any of these verses, but we get to the phrase which is mentioned twice in this passage. Come. On the first occasion, Jesus is inviting two of the disciples. Come to my home. Come and you will see. You want to know, come and you will see. On the second occasion, we see something that will always find. Perhaps you can find it. Jesus is in a world of high position. I say to you, you will see heaven open. You see heaven open, and the angel of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. See, this morning, if you rejected Jesus, or you said, he's not for me, you're missing out on the first time. And Jesus is saying to you, come, I will be the rabbi. Come into my fellowship, and I will teach you. Be a disciple of mine, and I will show you the way. I will come to you, and you will be my child. Jesus said, you will see proper attitudes. You will see something so inspiring and frightening from that. You will see. And you will see. I want to meet Jesus today. Which environment did you first talk to me? Jesus knows our need. When you hear his call, and he knows everything about you. I was at CBD yesterday, and my brother-in-law is now in working for them, so I'm just making a short plug for CBD. Please go to my books at CBD. But I was at CBD yesterday, and I got this book by Tim Keller, Jesus the King. And in the beginning of this book, he gives his testimony. He explains how he came to be a disciple of Jesus. And it's a lovely story. So I'm just going to read it for you very quickly. Although I was raised in a Christian church, it was only in college that I found a powerful, life-changing faith in Jesus. What is the vehicle of that spiritual awakening of the Bible, especially the gospel accounts in the New Testament? I had studied the Bible before. When I went through confirmation classes in my church, I had to memorize scripture. But during college, the Bible came alive in a way that was hard to describe. The best way I could put it is that before the change, I pulled over the Bible, questioning and analyzing it. But after the change, it was as if the Bible, the baby summer through the Bible, began pouring over me, questioning and analyzing it. Not long after this happened, I came across an article in the magazine entitled The Book That Understands Me. In his college days in France, Galliette had been an agnostic. He graduated from university without ever having actually seen a Bible. Then he served in the army during World War I. The inadequacy of my views on the human situation overwhelmed me with regret. What use? The philosophic banter of the seminar in your own faith, at the same time speaking to you of his mother, dies standing in front of you, a bullet in his chest. Then a bullet got him as well. He began recuperating during a long stay in the hospital. Reading literature and philosophy, he began strangely loving. I must say, however queer it may sound, for the book that will understand me. Since he knew of no such book, he decided to prepare one for himself. He read widely, and whenever he found a brief passage that particularly struck him and spoke to my condition, he intended to copy it down in a leather-bound pocket size volume. As time went on and the number of preparations grew, he keenly anticipated sitting down and reading it from cover to cover. He expected it would lead him as if it were from fear and anguish through the wide and intermediate stages to supreme utterances of release and jubilation. One day, he went out to sit under a tree in the garden to read this precious anthropology. As he did so, a growing disappointment came over him. Each quote reminded him of the circumstances in which he had chosen it, but things had changed. Then I knew the whole undertaking was not worth simply because it was of my own making. Almost at that very moment, his wife appeared after a walk with their child on the baby carriage. She had with her a Bible in French that she had received from a minister she had met on her walk. Kellyanne took it and opened it to the gospel. He continued to read into the night. The realization dawned on him. Lo and behold, as I looked through them, the one who spoke and acted in them became alive. This is the book that would understand me. Reading that article, I realized that the same things had happened to me. This is compared to though as a youth I believed that the Bible was the word of the Lord, I had not personally met the Lord of the Word. As I read the Gospels, he became real to me. 50 years later, I preached the Book of Mark at my church in New York in the hope that many others would likewise find Jesus in the accounts of the Gospels. I wonder this morning if Jesus has been speaking to you through the Gospels. What has he been speaking to you through the Gospel of John, the good news of John? He knows you, and he understands you like nobody ever can. Even your best friend, your spouse, your shrink. He knows you and he loves you. And he has everything you need as an extension of your life. Let's pray together. If you are needing Jesus today, if you realize in your heart that today is the day you want to meet Jesus, and I'm just going to ask you to speak to me. James, one of the elders, don't be today without calling you to God. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you have revealed him to us in the gospel, that he knows everything about us, he loves us, Thank you, Lord, that you pointed me to us to follow him. Lord, it's our desire that every person who's come this morning is seeking the answers to those questions that they know they can't answer for themselves. Seeking forgiveness, seeking healing, seeking life in Jesus, that they will find it there, Lord. We just thank you now for this time we can finish together. We pray that those who receive you, Lord, will